Hi, Alex. This is Rohit Mahajan. I'm the co-host of the Big Unlock podcast. I'm also the CEO and managing partner at BigRio. And it is great to have you as our guest on this podcast, especially at this fantastic event, which is AI4. And with that, I would love you to give your introduction to our listeners.
Alex, sure. So thank you very much for hosting me. I'm a big fan of the podcast. And when we connected, I immediately decided that we have to do it.
Yes.
So Alex Shavrankov, I am the founder and co-CEO of InSilico Medicine.
Great.
We are a generative AI company that is clinical stage. So we actually have real drugs in the clinical trials.
That's awesome.
We are publicly traded. We went public in Hong Kong last year under the ticker symbol 3696. So whatever I say, I need to be very careful.
That's all. That's good.
No forward-looking statement.
Yes.
Don't take any drugs based on what I say.
Yeah.
My background is in computer science.
Okay.
And I started my career in GPU computing. Then I made some money when I was in my early 20s and decided to spend the rest of my life on aging research, because I think that that's the most important problem that everyone has.
Yeah.
You and I have. And it's the major cause and source of suffering in the world.
Right.
So I did my grad work at Johns Hopkins. I was a professor here and there. And then 2014,
yeah,
came back to my roots,
yes,
which is GPU.
Yes.
And in 2014, started InSilico at the NVIDIA GTC conference.
Oh, that's amazing.
So yeah, we had a really cool presentation. Can NVIDIA solve aging?
Wow.
So okay. Now fast forward 12 years, we actually managed to get a few drugs into human clinical trials.
Okay.
I raised a considerable amount of funding mostly recently.
Yeah.
So it wasn't easy for us in the beginning.
Yeah.
I had a few cases when I had to sell everything and just, you know, put it in a company.
Yeah, of course, you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Well, that was like hard times, right?
Yeah.
So when you're rich and you invest everything.
Yeah.
And then you are poor.
Yeah.
And then you get it back, but then you actually don't want to be rich, so you invest even more.
So it's
an interesting journey. So now I'm still far from solving aging.
Yes.
But we made some good progress.
Right. So that is a very interesting area, because everyone's talking about, they give it the name silver tsunami, you know, 10,000 Americans aging every day, going into senior care facilities or, you know, rehabilitation centers. So when you say that you're working on solving the problem of longevity, I mean, there is a health span and there is a lifespan. So I guess you're focusing on the health span and making people live healthier for longer. So tell us a little bit about, Alex, how do you think about that? And which are some of the drugs that are in the pipeline? And how did you even choose those drugs to further progress?
So I actually focus on lifespan.
Lifespan.
So for me, that is more important than health span.
Okay.
I'll explain why.
Yes, please. That's interesting. Yeah.
I think that, you know, health span is a very vague definition of kind of longevity. So basically for people who do not want to push the boundaries of actual lifespan.
I see.
So I don't know of any drug that can give you, let's say, 10 years of life without giving you additional few years of healthy life.
Right.
So if your goal is to kind of push the boundary, you're also going to increase lifespan, health span, no matter what.
Right.
So the question is just the size of the delta.
Yes.
If that delta is, you know, 6 months of suffering, then it's not something that we would like to focus on with our entire company resources.
Yes.
We still develop drugs that may help a little bit in certain conditions.
Right.
Because very often, diseases are just being diagnosed too late.
Yes.
And I actually think I would still give like 6 months to, you know, a mother of two who is suffering from a terminal cancer.
Right.
To have a little bit more time with the kids.
Of course. Yeah.
Especially if it doesn't cost much.
Yeah.
And it has to be a choice, right? If the person doesn't want it, they won't get it.
Right.
But we need to provide them with a freedom to live even 6 months longer. Even if it's not exactly great health.
Right.
So I actually think that people who are saying that we don't want lifespan, we want health span, they're actually making a lot of damage to the industry, because they actually want lifespan too.
I see.
And if you want to be like anti-vogue, you say, okay, I want to go and increase peak span.
Right.
because actually peak span, that's how long do you spend at your peak within 10% of your maximum performance.
Okay.
And like you and I were past that.
Yes.
So how do you,
yeah,
like then you're saying, oh, well, but it's not good for me. So
yeah,
I'm not in the optimal state of my health, mm-hmm. and you are not trying to extend my life without dramatic disease.
Yeah.
So I actually think that all of those spans are important.
Right.
And there should not be a debate about yeah. what we want to extend.
Right.
So life is the fundamental human right. If we can give a year of life to everybody on the planet,
yeah,
let's say quality adjusted life here.
Yes.
That is 8.3 billion life years. That yeah. is 110 million lifetimes.
Yes.
That is, you know, more, like I would say, a couple of years just to be safe.
Yeah.
So a couple of years, that would be 220 million lifetimes.
Right.
That is more lifetimes than we lost in all the wars that were fought in the history of humanity.
Right.
It's a very big deal. And I think that the way to get there is to work within a traditional pharmaceutical drug discovery and development paradigm.
Yeah.
Where you have to go after a disease, get
yes.
a drug approved.
Yes.
But if the root of this drug
yeah.
is actually aging research.
Yeah.
So you're trying to develop a longevity therapeutic with AI.
Yes.
And AI tells you, okay, this is an anti-aging drug.
I see.
But it should work in this cancer.
Okay.
So you approve it for this cancer.
I see.
Get additional 6 months of life or a year
right.
or a few years.
Yes.
To a terminally ill patient if
yeah.
you want to.
Right.
But then this drug, once it's approved, since
yeah.
the safety and efficacy is established,
yeah.
we can experiment with it, get the real life data,
yeah.
real world data, and see maybe it's improving some aging biomarkers.
Right.
So it will be good for you and I. With
yeah.
different dose, different mechanism of administration.
I see.
So that's the idea.
Great. So I did hear you say longevity, and I did hear you say cancer as well. So are most of the drugs that you are currently having in your pipeline or going after targeted towards different cancers, or it's something else as well, Alex? Just curious.
So,
what's the breadth and the depth of, you know, the range of the drugs that you're going
yeah.
for longevity?
So
yeah.
we are very different
yeah.
in the context of AI drug discovery. Most companies go after like cancer
yes.
or neuroscience.
Right.
We are the MMA fighter.
Okay.
We are like the Conor McGregor.
That's great.
Maybe nowadays not a good analogy, but the best MMA fighter.
Okay.
Yeah. And we decided to go very broad spectrum. So
okay.
our core
yeah.
ideology is
yeah.
we go after aging.
Okay.
Many of the targets, protein targets, those criminals that drive disease.
Yeah.
They're implicated in aging and cancer at the same time.
I see.
So for aging, you would
yeah.
just use them differently.
Okay.
For example, you want to kill aged cells. So
right.
the cells that have senesced, they are not doing anything. They're just sitting there as passengers
yeah.
and excreting toxins into the microenvironment.
Yeah.
You want to kind of, in a targeted way, eliminate them.
Right.
Some of the cancer drugs do exactly that.
Right.
And there are many other kind of coherent
yeah.
ideologies there. So about half of my pipeline
yeah.
is related to cancer.
Okay.
Half of the pipeline is related to chronic disease.
Okay.
So my lead program that
yeah.
is in phase 3 right now is
yeah.
actually targeting idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis.
Okay.
A chronic lung disease with
yes.
No good treatment at this point in time.
Yeah.
So everything that is, there is for it
yeah.
is just slowing down the decline of
yes.
not trying to reverse it.
Yes.
So we actually in the phase 2 trial, we demonstrated very promising reversal of the loss of forced vital capacity, the essential measure
right.
of lung function.
Yes.
We also go after IBD, inflammatory bowel disease.
I see.
We go after neuroinflammation.
Okay.
So Parkinson's,
yeah.
potentially Alzheimer's, but
yes.
currently this drug is purposed to Parkinson's. We go after inflammasome.
Right.
We also go after ocular diseases.
I see.
So dry AMD, dry eye.
Right.
So all forms of age-related macular degeneration.
Great.
Also uveitis.
Yeah.
And then the
yeah.
most interesting breakthrough that we had recently is in pain.
Okay.
So pain is very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Like identifying new mechanism that's not opioid.
Yeah.
Or like not some ion calcium channel or anti-inflammatory mechanism.
Yeah.
Very difficult. So
I
the history
see.
Of humanity, like most of the pharmaceutical companies actually started
yeah.
as painkiller companies.
Okay.
So that's how it gets heroin, morphine,
yeah,
fentanyl. And those things are abused. They're very dramatic. But originally, they were actually discovered for pain. So we identified a new target that was actually purposed originally for aging.
I see.
And then just because of sheer scale of experimentation, we were doing some other pain drug, testing it on animals.
I see.
And in one of the experiments, we just had the ability to put more compounds in the assay.
Yes.
So animal in terrible pain.
Yes.
Rescued.
Right.
We tried something that might not have worked.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked better than morphine.
Wow.
In epidurally. And then we did, because morphine is administered with IV or epidural. And then we tested it against every standard of care, even against NAV 1.8. Orally, it worked significantly better.
Right.
So we took it all the way to developmental candidates. So one step before human clinical trials. So see, I've got statistics here.
Yeah, that's
now
great.
I have like cut.
Yes.
32. And developmental candidates. So 8 phase 1s.
Yes.
3 phase 2s, 1 phase 1.
That's great. That's right.
So we now have one pain drug. I'm extremely excited about that. Also, because imagine if you could kill pain at high dose.
Yes.
And at low dose, you quit aging.
That's a great combination, Alex. So Alex, tell me this. AI, you know, we are at the AI conference. So I bring up AI into the picture once again. So I know that you've been doing AI for a long time. It was predictive analytics before. Now we have generative AI. And, you know, we've used AI, you know, in many different ways, but we've found targets and maybe small molecules for drug discovery. So tell us more about your thoughts on how have you combined these two approaches, and if there's anything novel in the way that you're approaching AI in particular.
So
do you have AI chemists? I don't know. I'm just throwing it.
The Silico originally started as a deep learning company.
Yeah.
And closely followed DeepMind. So when we hired people, we tried to even do hackathons where we take one of their papers and then hire people who can outperform or like form similarly. So kind of when we just started. And we originally started as a biology company. So we have like an AI biologist.
Okay.
Mostly focused on understanding how you live from birth to death.
I see.
Utilizing different biological data type.
I see.
Those were originally predictive systems. 2016, we started publishing. And I was like senior author on papers on generative adversarial networks, racial autoencoders. So early days of generative AI. And we also purposed those algorithms for chemistry for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So my first paper on GANs for multi-parameter optimization and molecular generation. So we generate molecules with desired properties instead of like testing, trying to find a needle in a haystack, you generate perfect yields. And my first paper was published in 2016. 2017, we published several papers showing experimental validation of this technology. So actually synthesized and tested the molecules.
Right.
As humans cannot really see if they work or not.
Okay.
You need to make them and test them. And in 2018, we did an experiment. We published it on Nature Biotechnology. I was the first author on generative tensorial reinforcement learning. So that's kind of right before ChatGPT, where we show that we can now synthesize, test the molecules all the way into mice in 46 days.
Well,
that was a big deal.
Yes.
Made us famous in generative. And we, of course, at that time, were also working with birds. So the early transformer days, early 2020s, we started working in transformers diffusion, but basically created Lego system of different models that can do biology, chemistry, some can do generation.
Yeah.
You can do synthetic data generation and biology. Very often, you don't have a lot of public data available for specific people.
Yeah.
So you can actually generate this data using generative approaches with high quality. So we started doing that research around 2018, even have granted patents in that. So some models are doing bad generating data. Some models are doing predictive analytics. Some models are doing prediction of clinical trials outcomes.
Yeah.
But then we orchestrate them using frontier models.
Okay.
And now we've got over 1.2 thousand tasks in drug discovery. So think of like 1.2 thousand experts.
Yes.
That you can actually also clone and spawn every expert into many different agents.
Yes.
And achieve this grand task of like reasoning in the entire program. from the time you identify the target to the time you get an approval.
Right.
Work backwards.
Yes.
So I try to basically learn and train your entire system on that particular process.
Great.
So it basically can do prompt to drug.
I see. That's a great, great word that you use, from prompt to drug. So I've also been following the, you know, this space, you know, generally speaking, and I'm sure people in the audience, the listeners also might have this question, that Flagship Pioneering was a company that came and did a lot of pioneering work in this space. It's in their name as well. And then, of course, we had the other company, Moderna, you know, also leading with a lot of AI initiatives.
Yeah.
So let's say if you were to think about positioning or distinguishing your approach, Alex, vis-a-vis these two companies and Bostonix as well, right? So
yeah.
So what are some of your thoughts? Or
Flagship Pioneering, great platform for company creation.
Yes.
So what this guy is doing is basically they have capital, they have a pool of experts, and then they try to identify trends.
Yes.
And for those trends, they build companies.
Yes.
And then they kind of offer those companies to the investor base.
Yes.
Raise, and then, you know, see what works.
Yes.
And utilize the same people incubating many companies.
Yes. So, do they have anything in longevity?
I don't know. Okay. I don't think in longevity, but in generative AI, they do have many.
Yes.
So actually incubated by the same team for different kind of trends, different approaches, different investor bases.
Right.
I'm not sure if any of those, or like how do you establish success of the company, right? So one of them, called Generate Biomedicines, listed publicly.
Okay.
And they have a drug in phase 3.
I see.
I'm not sure how much of the generative approaches was used for that, but nice to see the publication.
Right.
But like with peer review, et cetera. But that's probably like a moderate success. Others, I don't know, because usually when you are creating a company for a purpose, it's very difficult to get the people to work together to achieve this goal, right?
Yeah.
So usually companies that are more successful in our field are people who came together, they worked on a problem, solved the problem.
Yeah.
And only after they solved the problem, they raised the money.
I see.
And then you basically try to scale.
Yeah.
Very difficult to try to kind of do forced invention. So usually genuine invention.
I understand what you're saying. Yes.
But it's a great platform.
Yeah.
And usually, you know, you do one win like Moderna.
Yeah.
And it pays for the entire party.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Moderna is a flagship company. I forgot about that.
So Moderna is actually a flagship. Yeah. So that's why they're famous.
Right.
And if it wouldn't be for COVID, it would be a good question, right?
Yeah.
So then if you look at what happened after COVID.
Yes.
Like, where is Moderna right now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
With all AI. And it's not the companies like that that we are worried about.
Yeah.
It's actually companies like Anthropic, OpenAI.
I see.
Google, many Chinese players like Tencent, Alibaba.
Yeah.
So they now develop foundation models that can actually reason really well.
Yeah.
In the context of biology.
Yes.
So some of the areas like target discovery.
Yeah.
Very primitive tasks are completely demonetized already.
Right.
Some of the more complex tasks, they are being demonetized as we speak.
Right.
And all of those companies, they are also putting resources into biology.
Yeah.
So I hope they don't do like stupid things like buying some companies like ours and those that actually kind of, because those guys are computer science, don't know what works or doesn't in biology. So they might actually buy a few stupid ones with like a lot of data and just for just to have it. But for them, like, it's a rounding error on their back sheet, right? And they will get some data.
Yes.
Maybe it's a good thing to actually sweep a few of those like low quality companies that fail to deliver drugs.
Yes.
But once those companies get proficient in our field, they will be real competitors.
I see what you mean.
So what I started doing, I started developing tools that actually accelerate this transition.
Okay.
So we develop tools like MMAI Gem.
Yes.
That help frontier models train their models on what they do.
Oh, okay.
And then we can just buy their model, because my job is to develop drugs.
Yes.
If in some tasks they are advancing and they can be better than me, I would rather help them do that.
So that they can help you back.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense.
And I'm going to be always at the frontier with a new algorithm.
Exactly.
Or a new approach.
Exactly.
So also in robotics infrastructure.
Yes.
So in the future, if you think about my field, the real moat are the drugs.
Yeah.
So this is, they're like diamonds. They're forever.
Yes.
AI comes and goes every six months.
Correct.
So I am like one of the top people in like generative AI for drug discovery specifically.
Yeah.
So we've published a lot of good work in this field.
Yes.
We're always like inventing new stuff.
Yes.
But in reality, now the space is accelerating.
Yeah.
So you can actually invent more at the frontier.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not going to make as much impact on the general reasoning of all models, but you can now kind of push the boundaries a little bit further, like Occam's razor.
Yeah.
And my job is to actually enable the big foundation model developers before they're going to be there to be better. In the future, the moat will be capital and convert it into energy or compute.
Yeah.
And it's probably better to have capital and compute because you are more flexible.
Right.
Then another one will be infrastructure.
Yeah.
So we are building now labs to validate stuff.
Yes.
We have infrastructure and the network of contract research organizations,
collectors
who trust us, who know us.
Yeah.
We know them. We're building facilities for in silico for our partners.
Right.
New advances in robotics.
Yeah.
And then the third most important mode will be good intent, good ideas.
Yeah.
And the right time, right place.
Makes sense.
We always have good ideas.
Yeah.
We have more ideas than we have the capital or infrastructure.
Yeah,
so
nowadays
with this increased intelligence, we can more rapidly convert ideas into real products that save lives.
Absolutely.
My problem with life is that, again, no drug is extending life right now by at least 1 year.
Yeah.
In a clinically proven setting.
I see.
I'm talking about for a healthy individual.
Yeah.
You don't have a disease.
Yeah.
You're optimizing. You're doing what your mother told you.
Right.
Diagnostics.
Yes.
Catching diseases early.
Yeah.
There is nothing you can do to increase your chances with a drug.
I see. So tell me this, Alex. A great insight here, what you just said. So what are some of your biggest challenges at the point in journey where you are at? So you have these drugs, which you describe them as diamonds forever, which is a fantastic way to think of that. So when are these diamonds forever going to be available? And what are the challenges to get there? So anyone that you would like to share about?
So one of the fundamental challenges everybody has is just the fundamental complexity of biology.
Yes.
So you can actually, you need to like try a lot of things to see what works.
Yeah.
Even with like perfect AI.
Yes.
Now I can go prompt to drug, but that's for a given target.
Yeah.
If it's like no low novelty or moderate novelty, I'll win.
Yeah.
But if I'm gonna go high novelty, something new, terra incognita.
Yeah.
Very good chance that I'm going to fail.
Yes.
So you just need to have a very sustainable business model.
Yes.
To allow yourself to fail. The real great challenge that I see is actually geopolitics.
Oh,
so right now it's like absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't want to understand it.
Yes.
But I have to understand it.
Yes.
Because US is fighting with China.
Yes.
Countries became very nationalistic. If you want to do really good job in what we do.
Yes.
You need to have international reach.
Yes.
Because if you want to synthesize those molecules that we produce.
Yes.
There are only two places you can do it at scale.
Yeah.
India and China.
Yeah.
You can not do it in the US. There is just no infrastructure. And that's also a low value task.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So it's just.
It's like manufacturing, you know. It's,
So you don't want to
low end shoes. Yes.
In a sweatshop, right?
Yeah.
Even if it's a robotic sweatshop.
Yeah.
And we also need to do animal experiments.
Yes.
So some animal experiments, like if you want to do monkey.
Yes.
Even India cannot do monkey because
right,
not much monkey resource.
Yeah.
Worship this animal.
Yes.
Some of it you can, but it's not as abundant.
Yeah.
And we have to go to China from that.
Yes.
Also, most of the like hardcore competition is in China.
Yes.
So if you want to compete, you actually want to compete with them there. And the U.S. is making it difficult for American companies to do that. China is making it difficult for the Chinese companies to kind of... Actually, China is pretty open, but still lots of regulation.
I see.
Like, no country is perfect.
Right.
And if you want to operate in this weird world, and your job, you're not taking any side. Your side is like,
people.
Because I don't care where you live, as long as you can live longer.
Yeah.
Like if the mother of two is dying somewhere in Africa, it's okay to help her.
Yeah.
Or in China.
Yeah.
You need to do that. And right now we're talking, many of them are dying.
Yeah.
So you don't know that until you actually start clinical trials. Sometimes
yes.
I just like cry when I see that numbers.
Yes.
So we had to establish the infrastructure that allows us to be global.
You're right.
So we are in Montreal, we're in Abu Dhabi.
Yes.
We're in Hong Kong,
okay.
We're in Taipei, we're in Shanghai, Yixing.
Okay.
And right now it's just very difficult to be global.
Yeah.
Also, like people look at you like, where are you based? Where do you work? What do you do where?
Yes.
Absolute nonsense. Well,
yeah,
I know one thing, just don't do anything in Europe because
they're,
regardless of where you're from, people will be asking like, what if?
Yeah.
What if you get rich?
Yeah.
Can we tax you now? I'm making a joke.
I see.
It's just like, oh,
yeah.
Do your missiles have bottle caps? Or like, is your air carrier rated C- for carbon neutrality? I'm making a joke. But yeah, I think that different regions have different benefits.
Yes.
And I think if you need to be fast, you need to figure out how to work everywhere.
Yes.
Otherwise, we just need to switch to a different therapeutic modality, right? If you're in small molecules, biologics, like
your
like areas where AI can really help you a lot, you need to be global.
That's great. So, Alex, I think we've had some really good conversation. We are coming up on time. Would you like to share anything which is upcoming on your horizon? I know that you're publicly listed. You said in Hong Kong, any plans to list here in the US? Anything that you would like to share with the larger audience listening to us as parting thoughts?
We would, of course, love to explore additional capital markets.
Yeah.
We're constantly on the lookout.
Okay.
And in the process.
Yeah.
As you need to be vigilant of the opportunities and also be timing the markets correctly, because currently the U.S. biotech industry is kind of going back up.
Yes.
But it's still in the winter. It didn't
right.
really process a lot of that junk that was listed for, got a lot of capital during the early days of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because there, a lot of people got a lot of money.
Yeah.
Didn't deliver. Investors got bored. Also, the AI hype needs to kind of go down a little, because right now people are chasing all those $1 trillion companies.
Yeah.
And playing on that. But they are forgetting about the smaller biotech.
Yeah.
Even though it's very important. So what we have on the horizon, we have, of course, massive scientific breakthroughs that
we're
constantly working on.
Yeah.
So, and I know some, but we are publicly traded. I cannot talk about
them. Of course.
So wait for it.
Yes.
And we usually do not make big claims until we publish a peer-reviewed paper.
Right.
So, and we publish consistently, but the big ones
right.
are always in the process. So what excites me the most are, of course, the clinical trials.
Yes.
So once you're in a clinic, you're kind of worried all the time, because it's like when you have many of them, you must fail statistically. Just so far we haven't. So you must at some point of time. It's a statistical impossibility to be flawless.
Yes.
But somewhere, like just given our current rate of success, I think that in many cases we should succeed.
Great.
And there it kind of pays for the party.
Yes.
And in some areas, I see some very promising data. On the AI front, I think that benchmarking is our most important moat.
Yeah.
So we just released a set of benchmarks where we can actually test frontier models.
Okay.
And also specialist models.
Yes.
In over 1,000 drug discovery tasks.
Okay.
And many of them, they suck.
Yeah.
They cannot perform.
Right.
And some of them, they're reasonable.
Okay.
Those large foundation model developers, they don't even know.
I see.
They don't know drug discovery yet.
Right.
I'm very happy to see that Anthropic is actually going into their own drug discovery.
Okay.
So you actually need to discover a drug to know how to discover a drug.
Yes.
It's kind of like chicken and egg. And for us, the most exciting thing is aging research.
Yes.
Like that's what I'm very committed to. I don't care about anything else.
Yeah.
I don't think that there are greater enemies that humans have.
Yeah.
Other than aging. Because that will kill you, like 100%.
Of course.
Everything away from you.
Yeah.
Try not to think about it. Try to think that it's normal. But there is a good chance that we can give ourselves additional 10 years. And everybody.
Yeah.
Maybe 20 years.
Yes.
How good would that be, right?
That would be fantastic.
We have some drugs.
Yes.
That hopefully.
Yes.
are going to get us there.
Great.
And some drugs are in the making.
That's awesome.
So that's what excites me the most. That will consume a large part of my life, but I'm willing to fight for it. And I think everybody should.
That's beautiful. Like pushing the envelope on longevity. Great ending, Alex. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you being a guest with us on the Big Unlock podcast.
Great to be on your podcast. Big Unlock.
Big Unlock.
Let's unlock longevity.
Yes. Thank you.
This guest appearance was facilitated through the AI4 event. We thank the AI4 team for organizing the event.